and welcome to the Destiny Prague podcast. Our heart is to see people empowered by the love of Jesus and activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God is still relevant today, and we trust that this message will bless you, challenge you, and fill your heart and mind with the truth of who God is and who you are in Christ. We believe that God has a plan for your life, and we want to journey a road of discipleship with you as you discover who He has called you to be. If you'd like to connect with us, check out our website at destinychurch.cz. Let's go.
Awesome. Okay, so today, beautifully, this wasn't planned, but it happened this way. We are prepared to preach our final part of the Do Good series. And this morning, the final part was about being beacons of hope. And it just so happened that today was also the first Sunday of Advent. Thank you so much. And it was about hope as well. So I love how the Holy Spirit has just been ministering through the worship, through the Advent reading, and I trust now as well through this message that you will leave here hope-filled and that you will also realize the hope that you carry and how powerful and beautiful it is to those who need it. Amen? Just a quick recap, because I love doing recaps. I think it's so important to understand things in context, especially with this being the last sermon of this series. We've been speaking about Acts 10, verse 38, where it says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." James 2, verse 17 says, "So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless." So what we've been speaking about for the past 4 weeks is that everything that we acknowledge about Jesus, everything that he has done for us, our faith, our conviction, our salvation, everything and our identity in him has to outwork itself to the point where we are doing good, right? Not just saying, "I'm going to pray for that person," or "that person, you know, I hope God does a wonderful work in their lives." But we're saying there's actually action involved. Amen? And I said this last week as well, that Jesus was not so heavenly minded that he overlooked the practical needs of people around him. However, he was not so focused on the practical needs that he forgot about the spiritual nature to the battles that they were facing. Amen? That's what we're going to be speaking about this morning. So, let's quickly go over week 1, 2, and 3, and I can do this in 5 minutes, I promise. We spoke about how everything Jesus said and did was about serving those around him. Can you say in your life that everything you do is about serving and loving those around you? Because that is ultimately what we have been called to do as believers, is to be serving and loving those around us. And he expected the same of his disciples, and he expects the same of us. Delara preached a brilliant message on letting down your nets, and she spoke around Luke 5, where the disciples had been fishing all night, and they'd caught nothing, and they were on their shores busy cleaning their nets. And Jesus called out to his disciples, and he said, "Come, let down your nets." Because you see, the disciples had already, they tried in their own abilities, right? They'd tried to do their best. But I want to tell you something. When Jesus calls you to something, he adds multiplication and he adds power to it, right? And we know that they caught more fish than they could even contain. What do the nets represent, right? So we're saying, let down your nets. Jesus was saying, come on, I'm calling you off the shore. Stop waiting around. Come and do something. What do those nets represent? Our giftings, our talents, God's calling on our lives, our passions, our time, and our treasures. He's asking us for everything. He's asking us to give him everything for the sake of others. Greater man, what greater love is no man than to lay his life down for his friend? Then last week, I was speaking about how, you know, we can understand the concept of needing to use what God has given us to advance the kingdom and to love people and to do good, but sometimes we can be held back by shame, fear of failure, or anxiety. We're not too sure where we fit in, how we fit in. And I spoke from Zephaniah 3, where God wants to give us a new language of faith and not fear. Some of us talk ourselves out of doing things without even reasoning with how it's going to look like and acknowledging, just as Jesus had, the power and authority that is actually on us. We so quickly talk ourselves into fear rather than faith. As believers, we have been called to a life of faith. Amen. We spoke about how sometimes that calling, that stepping out, means that we're going to be standing shoulder to shoulder with each other. Sometimes you're not called to run at things alone, but you've been placed within community. You can be placed with somebody to see God's purposes prevail. Maybe you have the gift of administration, and the person that you want to support has the gift to dream up the most beautiful visions, but they don't actually know how to execute that, right? That could be a great combination. Maybe you have a dream. You have a mission that you want to carry out, but you don't have the finances. Maybe there's somebody else that has the gift of giving, and they want to finance that project, right? God wants to position us shoulder to shoulder. And then lastly, I spoke about the importance of not relying on our efforts and abilities, but to trust in the one who empowers and strengthens us for every good work. Zephaniah says, don't be conquered by fear. Be conquered by a victorious God. How many of you want to be conquered by a victorious God over being conquered by fear? Yes. Is everybody with me this morning? Sorry, I know my voice sounds like I'm about to burst into tears. It's just because I have been losing my voice this week quite terribly. Anyway, so moving on. The final part is going to be good. A quick summary. We're going to be speaking about 3 points this morning. The importance of being beacons of hope. The importance of restoration for those we come into contact with. And how we need to be unapologetic in what we carry and its ability to change the lives of those around us. You see, when we move past fear and failure, and we commit to using what we have to serve those around us, you'll realize that we're not just about meeting a need, but that we're actually carriers of hope to people who have been bruised and marked by darkness, circumstance, or grief. Amen? We're not just a volunteer club. If you want to volunteer, and I mean this with all sincerity, there are fabulous places here in Prague where you can volunteer. You don't even need to speak Czech. We are not just a volunteer organization. We're not just about just meeting the need of people. We're about acknowledging that what we carry has the ability to bring hope to the hopeless. Amen? Though we may carry practical solutions to people's needs, we're actually taking them on a journey of restoration. Because when they encounter us, they're encountering Jesus in us, who we know is in the business of healing and restoration. Amen? So if Jesus is about healing and restoration and Jesus is in me, and I go up to Tanya, you see, it's because you sit here that I choose you every Sunday. I'm sorry. But if I go up to her, it means that she's going to encounter Jesus in me, who is what? In the business of healing and restoration, which means healing and restoration has to come to her, right? More than a bag of groceries, I'm pretty sure she needs some healing and restoration. Amen? We want to be unashamed of this. We want to acknowledge that Jesus truly is the only way. He is the truth and the life. And everything we need is in him. We don't just want to be doing good because we're too shy or embarrassed to speak about the hope that Jesus has for these people. Amen? So first up, beacons of hope. We'll be reading from Matthew 25, verse 35 to 40. You can highlight it on your phone. If you brought your Bible, circle it. Oh, I miss the sound of rustling pages when people brought their Bibles to church. Matthew 25, verse 35. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was imprisoned and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? You can imagine them very confused. And the king will answer them and say, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of these brothers of mine, the least of them, you did it to me. Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. And in the scripture, Jesus reminds us that what you give and how you serve those around you should be the same as how you would have served him and given to him. Amen. But it's also important here. I want to say this morning. This wasn't part of my notes, but God is just speaking to me about this morning. John 14 verse 27 says, it's not going to be up on the screen, Chantel, don't worry. It says, peace I leave with you. This is Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled. Let them not be afraid. And I wanted to read that because there needs to be a reminder here that what Christ gives is not what the world gives, right? What he gives is different. And in the same way, what we give to others and how we serve others needs to be different. Okay? Are you with me here? Right? Lots of great organizations giving out bags of groceries or giving out Christmas boxes. Nothing wrong with that. If you want to do a Christmas box, I was researching it this week, do it. But what's important here is that what we give has to be different. So you can give that Christmas box, but I want to hope that you're praying over that Christmas box, that whoever receives that Christmas box is going to encounter the love of Jesus, that he's going to come to the radical knowledge of him, that that person may be carrying rejection from family or abandonment or isolation, that Jesus would break through and that they would experience fresh hope. Amen? Because we're not just about establishing another good charity work. What's more important is that people encounter what we carry. And we carry Christ. Amen? We may be reaching out with our hands to help so that hearts can be touched and transformed by Christ. We may be doing many practical things, but we're also trusting that hearts are going to be changed and lives are going to be changed, because what we carry is different to what the world carries. And the way we serve is different because for us, our frame of reference is not how can I do things to be a good person. It's how can I serve this person as if they were Christ? How can I love this person as if they were Christ? Because Jesus says the way you serve others is the way that you would serve me. Sobering, right? Matthew 5 verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. The church should be, this was our first point, the church should be a beacon of hope to the lost, the lonely, the poor, and the hurting. Yes, here you can find practical support. You can find help. You can find guidance. You can find community if you've just moved to the city and you're feeling alone. But most importantly, here you can find hope. And our call is to bring the light of Jesus to the darkest places here in the world, and to touch those who feel overcome by the darkness. That's what we were just speaking about this morning, right? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Psalm 139, verse 11 to 12. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. God, even darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. That's just that first line again. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me. And you know, there's a better translation for that word overwhelm. It actually means to bruise or to mark. You see, so we can say, Maybe some of us have been there. Maybe some of us know people who have been there. I feel like we should all acknowledge that we've probably all been there ourselves. We were at the place where we're like, surely what we're going through is going to leave a mark. Surely what we're going through is going to bruise us in some way. There's going to be some sort of consequence to this. We can't walk through this amount of pain and just walk out okay at the end. Anybody experienced that kind of darkness before? That kind of heaviness? Just me. Just me and Debbie and success. There we go. That's fine. Three of us is good. The world wants to keep people as victims and just take care of their needs. Oh, I'm so sorry that you are a drug addict. We're going to help you get better. But we're not going to get to the root of why. We're not going to treat the deep darkness that may be filling you. We just want to make sure that you get off your drugs, which is so important. Please understand me. I'm not discrediting the practical reaching out to people. What I'm acknowledging here is that we have the ability to see people healed, delivered, restored, set free. But instead, we just want to give them a Christmas box because it makes us feel better. Right? We want to give a donation to the person who has nothing on the street, but we won't give them a Bible. We won't read a scripture to them. We won't touch them and say, do you know that Jesus loves you? We want to tell people, the world wants to tell people that, oh, you're a victim of this or that. You're like this because your family did this to you, and you'll probably be like this for a long time, you know, but that is not what we offer, because we know that the Bible from start to finish speaks about full restoration for those who turn to Jesus, where we would become unmarked, not bruised, not victims, but overcomers through Him. Amen? I'll move on to my second point of restoration. So firstly, we want to be beacons of hope. We want to realize that what we carry, the hope and the light of Jesus, has the ability to change people's lives. Not just change their lives, but we want to see people restored. The dictionary defines the verb restore as to bring back to or put back something to a former or original state. Jeremiah 30, verse 17 says, I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. And this is a repeated theme throughout the Bible, right? Where God is offering hope when all else seems to contradict it. This theme of restoration in the Bible provides a foundation for us to correctly understand suffering. That suffering is not the end, but it is an opportunity. The ladies read it this morning, right? Hope is simply but an opportunity for us to realize the places that are so full of despair and darkness and to allow hope to break in. Sometimes to experience true hope, we need to acknowledge the darkness that may be within us. So it says here that that's why restoration provides a foundation for us to understand sin or suffering or the hopelessness that we feel. Because it makes us realize God's unstoppable quest to save His people and restore them back to His image. God, the master restorer, helps us encounter Him who and how He intends for His people to be well. And He works constantly to save and restore creation that was so deeply wounded by sin. And it was Jesus' mission to bring about men and women to complete restoration. He came to give us health and peace. And He works in every single area. That is why what we carry is different. Because we aren't just meeting a need for hunger or meeting a need for finance. We're saying we carry something that's going to touch you. Mind, body, soul, spirit. Amen? When we were praying earlier, that's why I was saying sometimes we need to allow Jesus into these areas. We want to confine Him to the spiritual battle we are facing, or the health battle we're facing, or the relationship issue we're facing. But the truth is that Jesus wants His light in every single area. He wants to work on us mind, body, soul, spirit, all of it. When the Word of God touches us, the possibility for change, transformation, and healing is limitless. This is what we offer people. This is the beacon of hope that our church should be. Amen? Amen. Then lastly, we want to be unapologetic about what we carry and the power it has for those who we encounter. There's a scripture here in Romans 1, verse 16. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." And it's funny because we can often associate that scripture with, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Like, I'm not afraid to tell people that I go to a church on a Sunday, you know? But sometimes it's more about being unashamed of the power and authority you carry and the hope that is accessible to those you come into contact with. I'm proud to say I go to church on a Sunday. I don't know so much about being so openly honest about all the healing and freedom and restoration that is accessible to anybody who needs it, right? That's a lot more complicated. Let's not reduce the scripture to whether we're proud enough to say we go to church or not. I'm so glad one child is learning the song for the Christmas special. That's really helpful. It was the same when the Jesus trams were going through the city. Whenever a tram arrived for us and it wasn't the Jesus tram, Eli's like, I will not ride in a tram that is not the Jesus tram. And yeah, it was kids, man. Sometimes we need to be a little bit more humble. And we need to be like children again, where they're just completely unashamed, unhinged. Can I have the worship team up? What we need to acknowledge in being unapologetic is the revelation that we are not ashamed of the full gospel and the Bible in its entirety, and that it is the driving force behind why we do good, because we know that the God we believe in is able to bring light to the darkest places and restore even the most broken of people. Salvation is not just for our souls, but it is the hand of God reaching down and grabbing people out of the darkest places and setting their feet on solid ground. Can we stand this morning? I want us to just take a moment just to reflect on that last part. Because sometimes we feel like to be relevant or to be able to share or touch those around us, we need to have a story and then a scripture and then a 3 points as to why they should give their lives to Jesus. And I feel like before you can even start working on those things, some of us need to just see that picture. And maybe when we have somebody in mind that we just know needs a touch from Jesus, that needs rescuing, that we would see that picture of the mighty Father just reaching down into the darkness, reaching down and grabbing that person and setting their feet on a rock in the light and starting a journey of restoration and healing with that person. And I think when we begin to understand that God did that same thing for us, that we were reached, that we were in darkness and he reached down and he grabbed us. That if that becomes our heart, if we could have a fresh revelation of how powerfully we have been saved and how we have been healed and how we have been restored and how we have been delivered and saved from a life that we couldn't even imagine, that in the same way, what we carry now has the ability to do the same for those around us. that we want to do good. We want to be practical with how we love people. We want to serve. We want to give. We want to take care of the widows and the orphans as the scripture instructs us. But more than that, we want to acknowledge and understand once again that what we have to offer is different. We don't give as the world gives. We don't serve as the world serves. Because what we do is we don't just meet a need and see people stay as victims. What we do is we meet a need and see people healed, delivered, and restored. We don't want to treat people as the world does, where they just stay as victims. But we want to be part of somebody's journey where we're inviting them along, saying, come on, there's hope for you here. There's life for you here. The world says that this is the end of your story, or that you're just a victim of your circumstance. God says that He turns everything for the good of those who love and believe in Him. And that He can turn anybody's story for good. And that there is no darkness that He cannot bring light to. There is no person who is too far gone. There is no one who is out of the reach of God. Let's pray together. We just want to say, God, as we come now to the end of this series, Lord, as we've been speaking about how to love people the way You do, how to serve people the way You do, how to use everything You've given us, Lord, and to not hold back. Lord, I want to pray now boldly that You would give us opportunities, Lord. Not opportunities to feel like we're trying and failing, but opportunities, Lord, to acknowledge that it is the power and authority that You've placed in us and on us that will see people's lives changed. Lord, I want to pray for us to have a fresh understanding that it is You who enables us. It is You who gives us the grace. It is You who gives us our abilities and our talents and our treasures and our time. Lord, everything we have is from You. And Lord, our only responsibility, our only call is to use them for Your good and to use them as if we were serving You. To use them to love others as we love You, Jesus. I just want to pray this morning as well, even in my own life. I want to pray against the spirit of complacency. That's that weight that makes us just feel comfortable. That makes it just feel like, nah, this is convenient. This is safe. This is nice. This is fine. Holy Spirit, awaken us to more. Make us uncomfortable. Help us to see needs where the world doesn't see needs. Because we're not just checking if somebody has something to eat on Christmas. We're checking if they understand that Jesus is not the one who brings the gifts from Elsa on Christmas morning, but that He is the one who brings hope and light to the darkest places within us. So Jesus, would You awaken us? Awaken ourselves to the areas maybe in our lives where we've become sleepy. Maybe our souls, maybe our spirits are just becoming a little bit sleepy, a little bit comfortable, a little bit warm. And we say, Jesus, awaken us to the light and the hope that You carry. Awaken us, Jesus, to that very revelation that You are inside of us. And if You are light, and if You are hope, Jesus, and if You are inside of us, Jesus, then we are hope carriers. We are light carriers. And it doesn't need to be with well-rehearsed words or memorized scriptures. It can just be with truth and with love and in humility and with servanthood. If we could just be more like You, Jesus, more people would be changed. We're not trying to be like the greatest missionaries in the world. We're not trying to be like the greatest evangelists on TV. We just want to be more like You, Jesus. We're not trying to be like our moms and our dads. We're not trying to be like our pastors that we know back home. We just want to be like you, Jesus. In this season, Lord, in this season that is so dark, in this season where light and hope are so needed, reveal opportunities for us to be like you, to love like you, and to serve like you. Thank you, Jesus, for your friendship. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't call us to do these things without first showing us how to do them. Help us to fall in love with learning about you again, Jesus. May we begin to love your word. May we read about you, Jesus. Understand how you spoke to people. Understand how you loved people. Understand how you gave to people. May we truly be followers of Christ. May your light shine brighter than ever, Lord. In this church, in this city, may we truly be beacons of hope. May we truly be beacons of light. And to anything that makes us feel small, to anything that makes us feel inferior or unworthy, we shake it off now. We shake it off now in Jesus' name. We begin to speak in faith. We don't allow fear to disqualify us. We are not small, not when we carry what we carry. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is not conditional in our lives, that we don't need to wonder if you're filling us, if you're inside of us. But Lord, that once we've accepted you as our Lord and Savior, Lord, that you're with us and that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us.